It's 2100 hours in Abu Dhabi, 1900 hours in Zurich, 1800 hours in London, and 1400 hours in Quebec. Midori House starts now.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Midori House with me, Tom Edwards and Sophie Grove.
Today, Jamaica celebrates 50 years of independence, and so we're broadcasting live from the Jamaica House in Greenwich on the banks of the River Thames.
As well as exploring the global impact this small nation has had in the world over the last 50 years, we'll also be reflecting on a weekend of Olympic success.
We'll hear from the Jamaican High Commissioner for London, Alan Nhumbet Asamba.
Jamaica has had influence on the world in a way that is significant and belies the size of our country.
And we'll be discussing the legend that is Usain Bolt with Andre Lowe, a senior sports journalist for the Jamaica Gleaner, one of the country's daily papers.
All that, and we'll be bringing you some sights and sounds from Jamaica House right here on Midori House on Monocle 24.
But first, let's cross back to the studio at Midori House for the news headlines with James Luckhurst.
Monocle 24 News. Syria's state-run television has shown the Syrian government cabinet in session, just hours after the defection of former Prime Minister Riyad Hijab was announced. The cabinet was led by the newly appointed caretaker Prime Minister Omar Galahwanji, formerly a deputy prime minister. Hijab defected to the opposition, seeking to overthrow the government of President Bashar al-Assad, marking one of the highest profile desertions from Damascus. He was not part of Assad's inner circle, but correspondents say his departure has dealt a heavy symbolic blow to the establishment. In other developments, the Jordanian Foreign Minister Nasser Judeh has assured Syrian refugees that his country is making efforts to improve their living standards. The announcement follows rising complaints about conditions at the Za'atari camp on the border with Syria. During a visit to the camp, Mr. Judeh said measures are being taken to replace tents with caravans to shield refugees from the hot sun and blinding winds of the Jordanian desert.
We will have mobile ready-made mill buildings, I think, that will, like the one behind me, that will replace these tents because of the dust and because of the wind. We want to provide every comfort possible and every service that is needed to the Syrian refugees.
Indians around the world have condemned Sunday's killing at the Sikh shrine in the United States. An unidentified gunman killed six people and critically wounded three at a Sikh temple during Sunday services before police shot him dead. India's foreign minister said he was trying to get in touch with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to ensure that Sikh religious places were protected. Britain's ruling coalition government has suffered its worst crisis as David Cameron's Conservatives and their junior Liberal Democrat partners blocked key parts of each other's electoral reform plans. Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg said the coalition, formed 2 years ago after an inconclusive general election, had entered new territory after the Conservatives refused to back his plans to modernise the House of Lords. Lords reform had been a key plank of the coalition agreement between Cameron's Conservatives and the Lib Dems, who in turn have now vowed to oppose Conservative plans to reform parliamentary constituency boundaries. And the LOCOG chairman, Sebastian Coe, has said there is zero tolerance for incidents such as the bottle throwing before the men's 100 metres on Sunday evening, and that anyone involved in such acts would be removed. Lord Coe was speaking at his daily news briefing.
It's not just unacceptable at an Olympic Games, it's unacceptable in any sports venue. And the guy was removed, and anybody that does that in future will be removed. So, you know, there's a yeah, there is a zero tolerance to anything like that. It was actually poetic justice that they did happen to be sitting next to a judo player.
NASA has landed its huge new robot rover, Curiosity, on the surface of Mars to begin a two-year mission seeking evidence that the planet once supported life. NASA described the feat as perhaps the most complex achieved in robotic spaceflight. And those are the top stories here at Monocle 24.
Thanks, James. You're listening to a special edition of Midori House. Today, we're celebrating Jamaica's success in the athletics and the 50th anniversary of the nation's independence here at Jamaica House. And Sophie, what do you make of it so far? I'm having a terrific time so far.
It's so much fun. The O2 Arena is rocking. You have to follow the sort of Jamaican yellow One Love t-shirts down to this little corner, and it's just so much fun. People are all dancing when I went past on this amazing terrace. There's an enormous barbecue, and then just hundreds of people just dancing to music and swaying and just really getting down. And that was about an hour ago, so I can't imagine what it's like now.
I arrived a little before that, and there were some frighteningly good odours emanating from that barbecue, I had to say. But I've managed to resist so far. I don't know how long that will last, though.
It's so much fun, and they've got a lot to celebrate here at Jamaica House. Staggering feats that we saw yesterday and the day before. And it's certainly, people have got a spring in their step.
Absolutely. Not quite Usain Bolt-esque spring in their step, but it's getting there.
That would be rather unprecedented, let's face it.
I still like to think I'm not writing off my own chances just yet.
Well, lucky you. It's 6:06 here in London, and you're listening to Midori House on Monocle 24.
England is home to around 800,000 Jamaicans. In London, areas like Brixton, that have a wealth of West Indian heritage, are celebrated as being amongst the capital's most vibrant.
Now, the person charged with moderating Jamaica's ties with Great Britain is Alan Nusumbet Asamba. I'll get that out. The High Commissioner for Jamaica in London. Now, Tom Edwards, who's sitting right here, caught up with her earlier to talk diplomatic relations, sport and the state of the island nation.
We're celebrating our 50th anniversary as an independent nation. 50 years sounds like a lot, but in the life of a nation, it's not a lot, eh? It's just one generation. And I think that we have come a far way. Jamaica has had influence on the world in a way that is significant and belies the size of our country, both as being just a speck on the map, on the world map, and also a country which has 2.7 million people. If you look, for example, what we're here celebrating this week, the Olympics, there are 200 and odd countries. How many of them can say they have had a gold medal? We have had 2 gold medals, a silver and a bronze, and there's going to be more to come. But that is only one area. We have influenced the world with our music, with our art and culture, with our food. I mean, anywhere in the world you go now, you hear about jerk. People want jerk, chicken jerk, fish jerk, whatever. We've also influenced the world in terms of our politics. For a small country, we have had chairmanship of the Security Council in the United Nations twice. We are very active in the Commonwealth of Nations, and we have always led the world of organized nations. And so we, I think, have done a lot. Now, in terms of what happens at home, our development has been moving apace. We have universal adult suffrage, which we got before independence, but which we have developed. Our electoral system has been developed, and in fact, people come from other countries to study what we have done in Jamaica. We have a stable democracy. We have regular elections, and yes, in the past, we have had problems with some violence around elections, but for the last 3 elections, we have had none of that. We have sent our people all over the world to contribute to the development of other countries. For example, here in the United Kingdom, where Jamaican teachers, Jamaican nurses, Jamaican doctors, people working in transport, in telecommunications have come and helped to develop those areas here in the UK. And we do the same thing in the United States, in Canada, and in other countries. Jamaican, really, we punch way above our weight class.
I wanted to ask you about this because you've described very eloquently there, in all these different aspects of life, how Jamaica does it. Is it the Jamaican people? Is it about the political process? What is it that enables Jamaica to do that and so consistently in so many different areas?
You mean to have the confidence to do this? I think it has to do with our history. We can't deny that we had a slave history. but we have always had rebellion. It's almost as if Jamaicans don't feel that the place that people want to keep us down in is the place that we belong. And so we've always fought to be in a place that we want to determine where we are. And so there's a resilience to the Jamaican people, and we are determined to succeed. We're determined to overcome all the odds. And as I keep saying to people, we're coining a new word, a new adjective, which I'm sure is going to be in the dictionary in a few when the next one is done. And it is, you're acting very Jamaicanly. It means that your confidence, your style, your class, your manner is what is and what makes you Jamaican.
And I wanted to ask about the relationship with the United Kingdom. Obviously, it's quite poignant, I think, that this anniversary, there's so much happening here in London, the games, wonderful achievements by the likes of Usain Bolt. What's the feeling about how the relationship with the United Kingdom has changed, and what does it mean to be in London on this special day?
We have a very good relationship with the United Kingdom, notwithstanding the fact that we have indicated that we want to move ahead with our full independence to having a Jamaican chosen as head of state, moving away from having the Queen as head of state. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to continue having a good relationship with the government of the United Kingdom. And furthermore, we're going to continue in the Commonwealth of Nations, and the Queen is the head of the Commonwealth. But we feel that part of our development process is to have a Jamaican who is our head of state. And we have excellent bilateral arrangements with the United Kingdom. We cooperate in many, many areas, and that will continue.
You mentioned bilateral relations there, and I just wondered how useful an opportunity is something like the Olympic Games in terms of bilateral meetings with other nations, the sort of diplomatic game, if you like. Is this a key sort of opportunity?
It is, and the purpose of having this space, for example, is not just to have a party. Definitely so. And we had a whale of a party last night. But it is also to present the other face of Jamaica. Jamaica is open for business, to make business connections, to have meetings, bilateral meetings with other countries. And we've been doing that.
Now, you mentioned earlier about some occasional outbreaks of violence. We've seen occasional things at home in Jamaica. How much of a problem do you feel that still is on the home front? And what do you feel like the prospects are going forward to the next 5-10 years?
You know, the issue about violence is a very complex one. If you examine, for example, the number of murders that take place in Jamaica, some of it is domestic violence, the kind of thing that happens anywhere in the world. Most of it has to do with the drug trade and the trade in arms. And I want to make this very clear. Jamaica does not produce cocaine, nor do we produce guns and ammunition. We, unfortunately, geographically are placed in the ocean, in the path of the producers and the consumers. And we're caught in this, which is not to say that there aren't some people who are taking advantage of being caught there. So in terms of our ability to fight that kind of crime, we need the bilateral cooperation of the countries that are using. And so we have arrangements with the UK, with Canada and the United States to help us to manage, to control the drugs and guns passing through our island. So we have had violence. It is something which we don't like, but we are working very hard at stemming that. And right now, we are working very hard at particularly the violence that is attached to the drug trade.
Just very briefly, we've seen Usain Bolt last night, a wonderful performance. What kind of value does someone like Usain Bolt have as a sort of representation of a country? I mean, you can't buy that kind of publicity, can you?
No, we can't. And we're very honoured to have an ambassador like Usain. You know, he is an ambassador, an official ambassador for the country. And he has also been given one of our highest awards, the Order of Jamaica. We recognise the value of a Usain Bolt to us. We recognise the image that he portrays of Jamaica, of being what is the best of Jamaica. We recognize that he is a role model for all young people who want to achieve. He works very hard. And he is such a nice young man, you know? So it's good for us.
And that was Alan Mudumbet Asanda talking to Tom earlier at Jamaica House. And this is Midori House on Monocle 24.
Thailand is the world's largest exporter of rice, shipping more grains abroad than any other nation. Perhaps even more surprisingly, we're also the world's leading producer of hard disk drives, powering global electronics. And we also make great music. So from sound bites to megabytes, you could say that we're making all the right noises. To find out more, visit modern-thailand.com.
It's that time of year when Monocle packs its trunks and its bikinis and heads to the beach to produce our summer resort newspaper, Monocle Mediterraneo. Our large format paper takes the temperature of the region from Liguria to Lebanon, Marseille to Mallorca.
In the design section, we discover a modernist neighbourhood in Naples, a mid-century gem in Ibiza, and a cool stone creation on Mykonos.
In the edit section, we show you how to cook the Mediterranean way with recipes for Turkish and Lebanese specialties. And we interview the food ambassadors that are shaping the restaurant scene in Italy and Greece.
And we head to Tuscany to find out where US soldiers unwind on Europe's only US military-controlled beach.
Monocle Mediterraneo is on newsstands now. It's the only beach companion you'll need this summer.
The Olympics, on Monocle 24.
As Olimpíadas estão chegando a Monocle 24.
Olympiski teidrissa pro Monocle 24.
Lontosta maailmalle, Monocle 24.
The Olympischen Spiele auf Monocle 24.
The Olympics, on Monocle 24.
This is Midori House, live from Jamaica House here on Monocle 24.
And joining us here at Jamaica House is poet Uncle Sid, who's been comparing on stage and has come to share some of his poetry with us. Welcome, Uncle Sid.
Okay, of course I must give thanks and praise to the Creator for the ancestors who have paved the way for us all, that Uncle Sid could be live and direct in Jamaica House speaking for the first time on your radio, live and direct from London, UK. Bless
them. Excellent. Well, you're very, very welcome and thank you for joining us. You're very dressed up and you're wonderful. Well, you should describe your outfit really, because it's just quite simply fantastic.
Okay. Right, I'm wearing right now the Jamaican flag in my pocket, and I have a flower shirt with all the colours, the Jamaican colour. You
know? And a Jamaican cap.
Yes,
there's a lot
right.
of good outfits here today.
That's right, that's right. That's
I think
right.
that the Jamaican house is really rocking the flag. I mean, people are draped in it.
Yeah, it's so important, you know. It's love. It's showing all the love. The colours is always love colours.
Exactly. I think my favourite though is your gold jacket.
Okay, bless you.
Is it gold in honour of Usain Bolt's gold medal from yesterday, perhaps?
How did you guess?
I'm a very clever man, Sid. You
know. No, when we celebrate, we have to do it in style.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a poet.
Okay, I was brought up in London. I start my school in Jamaica, and I came here and finished right here. Right, I was at a school called Tubbs Hill in London. I was a school prefect, right? I won't say what age I come here. And I did a lot of things, right? I'm an artist, I paint and do other things. But at this present moment, I help to open doors for others.
And is poetry a really sort of central part of Jamaican culture?
Yes,
Where did you learn this art?
No, what happened, see, when I was young, I had to recite. You know, they used to recite things when you're at school, at rally. You know, they learn you a few lines. And then you have to go as a child. And they encore you, and you go back again, you'll be getting you're getting sheer heist, you know. And every time you go up, they encore you, they give you a gift.
You know? Oh, so, and you probably did pretty well in those states, considering
your career now.
And the poem you're going to recite for us now,
give us
a bit of background.
What I mean is that it's my grandmother. I've got different poems about grandmother. I do go into school and give poems, but this one is to tell you where I was born, where my grandmother's born. So it's really dedicated to my grandmother.
And it's very evocative of Jamaica.
Yes, because
and
what I mean is, my grandmother, the way I get to write the poem, my grandmother, she's like the hummingbird. that is our national bird. She never leaves Jamaica. That's how I get to do the poem.
Well, take it away, I think.
Yeah, okay. Let's my it. Grandmother born here. My grandmother live here, and she never leave here. Before they arrived, the peaceful people used to live here. Before they wiped them out, there was the Arawaks. And they call the country Eximaker, meaning land, wood, and water. Now it's called Jamaica. Jamaica national bird is the hummingbird. Out of 320 species of hummingbird in the world, the swallowtail hummingbird only live in Jamaica. Jamaica have 14 parishes. My grandmother was born in the parish of Clarendon District, Artiseat. My grandmother continued to say some of her family and friend leave the sunshine, the blue mountain, the spring, the valley, the gully, fear foreign land. Some of them gone to places like this now. Some of them gone to America. Some of them gone to a cold, cold place like Canada. Some of them gone to England, leaving behind all the fresh fruit like mango, star apple, guinep, soursop, rose apple, pineapple, and guava, and coconut water. My grandmother continued to say, if she'd ever leave here, she wouldn't be able to drink her bush tea. And when she have a lick of fresh cold, she'd sit by this fireside and roast a silver seat and eat the leaf of life. My grandmother born here, my grandmother live here, and she never leave. My grandmother continued to say, if she'd ever leave here, she wouldn't be able to plant her yam, her banana, her cocoa, her chocho, our thyme, our okra. And my grandmother continued to say, when the cool breeze blow, she smell the orange blossom and the coffee early in the morning. Bless up every time from Uncle Sid.
Terrific. Wow.
Uncle Sid.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Midori House. And if we're lucky, we may hear from you again later in the show, perhaps.
Yes, okay, thank you. I'll be back here on Wednesday to host another show, by the way.
Excellent. Well, okay. Thank you Give so time. Much for joining us.
More blessing to you all.
So Jamaica has come away from a scintillating Olympic weekend with two gold medals, each one in emphatic fashion. First, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce in Saturday's women's 100-metre sprint, and then Usain Bolt's record-breaking run in yesterday's men's 100-metre final.
Off they go. Gatlin is up very quickly. Powell is up very fast as well. Bolt turns on the big engine and takes command. Usain Bolt, 9.64, Olympic record.
Every country is in a trouble. When lightning bolt take the speed double. Every country is in a trouble.
Dominates in London. He's the king of sprinting. Undisputed.
Me say we multi-talented. Me say we multi-talented. It's Charlie. Said them never knew how a time would have come. Will be a drink surprise, and them can't believe fizzy Jamaican athletes went on the track and rise. When them things say, them did a go get way. This I know if now maybe every country scared when them come back up in a lightning boat. The whole of Jamaica they sing boat, and more than one goal in win. Let me say it's a Jamaican swing, but everybody play a role and straighten the thing. Boat. Million Walker from Maxfield. She a boat. Shelly and Fraser from Waterhouse. She a boat. Plus Veronica Campbell from the parish Lane. Me say she fast like a lightning bolt. Jamaica we little but we talawa. We lead in everything we no follow. Black, gold and green a fi we colour.
Now, Jamaica's athletic profile has never been higher. The streets of London, especially in the city's south, are full of Jamaican flags, and pictures of the fastest man on the planet are unavoidable. But how are the latest victories being received by the Jamaican media? To find out, I spoke with Andre Lowe, a sports journalist from the Jamaican Gleaner, one of Jamaica's largest daily newspapers.
From what I've gathered, speaking to people back home and just looking at photos all over social media, it has been absolutely amazing back home. Pandemonium, for want of a better word. A lot of crowds gathered in, you know, major towns to watch the races, the 100-meter finals, of course, the men's and women finals. And from what I've gathered, there's been total excitement back home.
And tell me, is there a real sporting culture in Jamaica? I mean, the amount of talent that such a small island has produced indicates that something of a cult, the running as an art, is it really sort of a part of life in Jamaica, or are these just the great exception?
Certainly Jamaica has had a culture of sports that had an amazing record for sports, not only in track and field, but also in areas like netball. The Sunshine Girls, if you remember, are ranked fourth in the world, which is quite simply an amazing accomplishment. The Rigger Boys, our national senior football team, have qualified to the 1998 World Cups. We have also sent teams to the under-17 and under-20 World Cups. And certainly we have also produced some of the most talented, most successful cricketers on the planet. So certainly there is a sporting culture, and not only in those traditional sports, but also non-traditional eras. We did send a team to the Winter Olympics in bobsleigh. We also have a skier as well for Winter Olympics. So Jamaicans, we're crazy about sports. And of course, when the Olympics come around, when the major championships come around, it brings a certain sense of unity, a certain sense of togetherness that, well, quite frankly, isn't always there, eh?
And for Usain Bolt, there's very little time to celebrate. He's preparing for the 200 metres. How do you feel about his chances?
Well, I tell you what, coming into the Olympics, there were so many doubts around Usain Bolt, his fitness levels, and whether or not he'd be able to repeat what he did in Beijing, right? I said on several other programs, several other mediums before that, listen, we have been hearing that he last 5 to 6 weeks, he has been training extremely well, and that he was in vintage form. That's the term they use, vintage form. 9.63 yesterday, the second fastest time ever recorded, shows that Usain Bolt is pretty close to his best, and I'm expecting him to come out in the 200 meters, which, by the way, is by far his favorite event. And I'm expecting him to come there and of course, dominate as well. He is on a quest, a personal mission to achieve greatness at these Olympic Games, and he knows very well that in order to do so, he has to repeat, he has to be successful in the 200 meters. And I think he's focused, I think he's ready, and I think he's highly motivated to come here and do well in the 200 meters as well.
And he is a national, an international icon now. I wonder what status he really has in the Jamaican identity. I mean, is he going to be an example to others? Do you think he'll precipitate a whole new sort of generation of athletes in Jamaica?
Usain Bolt is certainly one of our most respected, most loved exports. We have had quite a few. You look at the greats in spanning the music, sporting spheres. So he certainly ranks high among our greatest exports. Usain Bolt has certainly helped as well to inspire the youngsters back home, not only in sport, but if you look at his development, if you look at his history, it hasn't always been this rosy for Usain. Back in 2005, in 2006, in 2007, when he was struggling with injuries and criticism, but he has shown that with hard work, some degree of focus, and the right people around you and determination, you can achieve your objectives. And you know, this is a message that a lot of youngsters back home have gravitated towards, and it's credit for him, you know, to sticking with it and eventually coming out on top.
And incredibly, Jamaica also took the silver yesterday in the 100 metres with Johan Blake, who is really something of an apprentice to Usain. I wondered whether he's really sort of taken him under his wing, and whether he'll ever eclipse him sometime in the future, and what that will mean really for Jamaican running.
Well, you know, Johan Blake certainly considers Usain to be a big brother. He considers him to be a mentor. And even yesterday, prior to the semifinals of the 100 meters, prior to the finals, you could see both athletes training together, joking around together, talking together in the warm-up eras. Johan Blake actually said to us after the event that, you know, he really has to thank Bolt for everything, because it was Bolt before the race who came to him and said, you know, listen, Johan, I know it's your first Olympics. Don't put any pressure on yourself. Try and be calm. Try and be relaxed. It's okay to feel pressured and nervous. It's your first Olympics. Just go out there and do your best. And we have seen in some of his best performances, the 19.26 over 200 meters last year in Europe, second fastest time over that distance. Usain Bolt, it was, who spoke to him before and gave him some advice, consolidate on the corner. The 9.75 in Kingston, where he actually defeated Usain Bolt at the national trials. It was Bolt again who spoke to him before at that very race and encouraged him, you know, to keep focused and to be relaxed. And again here in London, Usain Bolt offered his advice to his friend and training partner, because I think what a lot of persons are missing is that these guys are genuine friends, and these guys genuinely respect each other. And it augurs well for the future of Jamaican track and field. Johan Blake leads a line of very young and promising sprinters. Remember, he's just 32 years old. He has done it at the junior level with silver and bronze medals, and he's now beginning to produce, or has produced rather, at the senior level. World Championship gold medal last year in Daegu, and now an Olympic silver medal at 23 years old. Amazing stuff.
And do you think this will also change the government's attitude to sport? I mean, how much support is there for these athletes? I mean, is there a governmental backing, or are they really sort of funded by private enterprise and really just hard work?
To be fair, Jamaica, with its limited financial resources, I think the government has played some role in the development of sports. Certainly a whole lot more needs to be done. And we are seeing where private enterprises are beginning to also support the sport. But I think a lot of it is reactive. I think there certainly needs to be some consideration for the grassroots levels, the developmental levels, and not just support for persons who have actually made it. But certainly there has been some support from our government, but there is need for more.
And finally, what's your own take on the Olympics? I mean, you're a Jamaican visiting London. Have you been surprised by the real grassroots support for the Jamaican team?
No, certainly not. Certainly, since Beijing, Jamaica has been the face of international track and field, certainly the face of sprinting, with athletes like Usain Bolt. We're almost like everybody's second team. And also, we're coming to a city where the Jamaican presence is absolutely amazing. There's a large, large Jamaican community here. It's called Little Jamaica. And so we certainly expected the reception that we got. And, we're enjoying it.
That was Andre Lowe, senior sports journalist for the Jamaica Gleaner.
In the next half hour of the programme, we'll talk jerk chicken, reggae and international trade. But first, let's hand back over to the studio for the news headlines with James Luckhurst.
Syria's state-run television has shown the Syrian government cabinet in session just hours after the defection of former Prime Minister Riyad Hijab was announced. The cabinet was led by the newly appointed caretaker, Prime Minister Omar Khalahwanji, formerly a deputy prime minister. Hijab defected to the opposition, seeking to overthrow the government of President Bashar al-Assad, marking one of the highest-profile desertions from Damascus. In other developments, the Jordanian foreign minister Nasser Judeh has assured Syrian refugees that his country is making efforts to improve their living standards. The announcement follows rising complaints about conditions at the Za'atari camp on the border with Syria. Indians around the world have condemned Sunday's killing at the Sikh shrine in the United States. An unidentified gunman killed six people and critically wounded three at a Sikh temple during Sunday services before police shot him dead. India's foreign minister said he was trying to get in touch with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to ensure that Sikh religious places were protected. Britain's ruling coalition government has suffered its worst crisis as David Cameron's Conservatives and their junior Liberal Democrat partners blocked key parts of each other's electoral reform plans. Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg said the coalition, formed 2 years ago after an inconclusive general election, had entered new territory after the Conservatives refused to go to back his plans to modernise the House of Lords. Lords reform had been a key plank of the coalition agreement between Cameron's Conservatives and the Lib Dems, who in turn have now vowed to oppose Conservative plans to reform parliamentary constituency boundaries. NASA has landed its huge new robot rover Curiosity on the surface of Mars to begin a two-year mission seeking evidence that the planet once supported life. NASA described the feat as perhaps the most complex achieved in robotic spaceflight. Those are the headlines here at Monocle 24.
You're listening to Midori House, live from Jamaica House in Greenwich, southeast London, on the banks of the Thames. It's 50 years since Jamaican independence, and a time for a double celebration after the nation cleaned up in the men's and women's 100-metre finals at the weekend.
As we heard earlier from High Commissioner Alun Nubemet Asamba, various aspects of Jamaican culture have helped this small nation to punch way above its weight on the international stage. Jamaican food has formed a key part of the nation's identity overseas. So earlier, we sent our reporter Adrian Craddock out here at Jamaican House to sample some of the wares on offer.
Hello, my name is Winston here. I'm the jerk man.
So can you tell us what you're cooking there?
I'm just cooking some Jamaican jerk chicken. Yeah, favourite around the world. Great Jamaican jerk.
So how do you make it exactly?
Basically, just get a chicken, clean the chicken, give some proper washing with lemon and vinegar, and then you season the chicken with a good Jamaican jerk seasoning. Really. Yeah, man.
And then just barbecue it, right?
Yeah, and just barbecue. What we use to keep the chicken wet, you have to get some Jamaican red stripe beer and just sprinkle over it, yeah? And
is that the secret recipe?
Yes. Yeah, man. The recipe is in the taste anyway, man. Yeah. You can't get better than that.
So why is jerk chicken so popular and such big of a deal in Jamaica?
Because it's, this is coming from tradition. Yeah. My grandparents, my kids, just going like that, you understand? It's coming from the olden days, tradition, you understand? So it's not just like this, it's just way behind this. Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you doing there?
Yeah, just give it a wet, the fire was blazing, so I just spray some water on it to keep the fire down a bit. Yeah. Yeah, and the more smoke it made, is the more the chicken steam rather than burn. Yeah, so that's what basically happened really still.
So is that kind of the secret to making good jerk chicken, keeping it wet?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You don't want your chicken to too dry. And at the same time, you don't want your chicken to too wet. You understand? You just want a nice, moist chicken. Yeah.
So you're talking a little bit before about the tradition and how, you know, you always eat it when you're in Jamaica. Do you have fond memories when you were younger eating jerk chicken?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Always, man. Always.
What kind of stuff do you remember?
You know what, man? I grew up on this stuff. And there's a lot of European people get to understand jerk chicken is the way to do it, man. Yeah. Rather than this whole fried chicken, you understand? Yeah, you get less fat in it, which is the smoke kind of burn out the fat. So you get less fat rather than fried, you understand? So that's it really, basically, man.
And just finally, you know, obviously Jamaica has this really strong tradition at the moment with runners and sprinters, you know, Usain Bolt, Johan Blake. Do you think there might be a chance that, you know, their diet might be the secret, jerk chicken?
Definite. You know what, man? Jerk chicken, rice and peas, caramel dumpling, hard food. Can't get better than that. Yeah. Just put the sprints in the legs. Yeah, man. That's it.
And that was Adrian Craddock sampling some of the delicious food here at Jamaica House. It's 18:38 here in London, and you're listening to Midori House live from Greenwich in southeast London.
The Olympic Games is more than just a sporting event. It's also a chance for diplomats and businessmen to rub shoulders with key decision makers.
For the Jamaican government, the aim is to turn the country's victories on the running track into economic success. With runners like Usain Bolt and Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce racking up gold, brand Jamaica has rarely been stronger. To talk about how the country is hoping to use its sporting prowess to attract investors, we're joined by Anthony Hilton, who is a Minister for Trade. Welcome to Midori House.
Thank you for having me.
And firstly, congratulations. Your nation has triumphed yesterday in track and field. You must be feeling very jubilant.
Well, it's an exciting moment. It is really the confluence of both the Olympics and our 50th anniversary. And I think it's an appropriate gift to the nation by both Shelly-Ann Fraser, Usain Bolt, and the team in general. But let me also use the opportunity to congratulate Great Britain on this performance as well.
Oh, well, thank you. We're doing unusually well. We can hardly believe it ourselves. but tell us, is there a connection between this sporting absolutely staggering achievements and you know the brand and your job as trade minister to really connect those two and make sure that you utilise the success on the track as a sort of tool on the international stage?
There is. I think I've sort of listened with amusement all this question about why Jamaicans run so fast, and we've been very consistent at it. And there's all kind of theory about food and genes, and for my own part, I'm very clear that it's about institutional building. Since 1948, we've been winning medals, gold medals in the Olympics and beyond. And I'll say to you that the future for Jamaica in athletics looks very sound, as you can see from young Ewan Blake and others that are coming up. I think the principal part of it is about planning and about building institutions. So coaching cadre has expanded. We have some of the top coaches in the world. I think it's very little recognized. And I think that to suggest that it's simply about food is simply not to get is not to get it right at all. I think there's been years of investment in sports, in sporting institutions, in our coaches, in our facilities, and I think that is part of the strategic plan going forward. And so it speaks to the possibilities not just for athletics but for the entire creative industry and entrepreneurship innovation in Jamaica. So that's what we're focused on. And yes, Jamaica House is about promoting other aspects of the Jamaican economy. And to say to our local businessmen, some of whom I just met with a few minutes ago, and potential investors, that Jamaica is much more than a beach. It's a country with well-developed infrastructure and a rigorous planning going forward.
I mean, that touches on something I wanted to ask you about, which is what kind of opportunity does the Olympic Games present on the diplomatic front? I mean, are there opportunities to engage in bilateral talks, for example, that perhaps otherwise might be rather complex? Is it a great diplomatic occasion for you as well?
I think it is. I mean, it has proven so in the past. When I served as foreign minister, I remember, in some of my bilateral engagement, what we're able to add to our bilateral cooperation arrangement is that a number of countries wanted us to cooperate with them in building sprinting programs, and we've cooperated with them, and I think that just adds to the mix of our bilateral relations.
And when you're sort of abroad negotiating trade and sort of selling other aspects of Jamaica, do you think that people think, oh yes, no, it's synonymous with this success on the track?
Well, I mean, that's helpful if it doesn't confine it to track and field. What I hope it would speak to is, as I said, institution building and the same kind of focus and the capacity that track and field represent. I think the larger business focus represent as well. If I speak to Jamaica as a country positioned as part of the global economy and our place in that global supply chain, then I speak about the tremendous prospect for Jamaica as a logistic hub in the hemisphere. And that's what we're focused on, and building the economic platform, ICT and others going forward.
Now, we touched upon this when talking to the High Commissioner a little earlier, and I know your Prime Minister has talked about this as well, the idea of Jamaica continuing becoming a full republic with a, you know, an elected head of state, that kind of thing. How likely do you think this is? And I mean, is that an idea that you're personally keen on?
How likely? I think it's a foregone conclusion.
And so you welcome this?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, there's an amazing reception here for Usain Bolt. I mean, do you feel there is a connection between the UK and Jamaica that can be very beneficial in terms of trade, not just sport, and as we've seen in the Olympics?
No doubt. I mean, there's no doubt. I think our quest to move towards a republican status is in no mean a slight on the UK. I think the 300 years of relationship, I mean, that's part of the history that we embrace. It is about going forward and not looking back. The UK has had some defining influences on the Jamaican culture and Jamaican institution going forward, none of which we ignore. We simply, I think, at the moment, I think Jamaica is at a stage after 50 years where we believe that going forward it requires the resilience and the focus inward on the Jamaican and Jamaican capacity and capability to build and to project itself forward. But in terms of bilateral relations, we remain a very vibrant part of the Commonwealth, which I think is it's a great framework in which to continue that relationship with Britain. Our bilateral relation is strong, and we'll continue that.
Anthony Hilton, Jamaica's Minister for Industry, Investment and Commerce, thank you so much for joining us on Midori House.
Thank you.
It's 18:45 here at Jamaica House, and we'll be back with some reggae right after this.
Thailand's famous hospitality is ingrained in our culture, from the warmest of welcomes to our culinary skill. That's why hospitality businesses like the world's best cooking school, Le Cordon Bleu, come to Thailand to sample our unique mix of exquisite cuisine and transcendent service. And all this against a soundtrack of fantastic homemade music. To find out more, visit modern-thailand.com.
Into my little tiger pop.
It's that time of year again when City Hall officials dab their concerned brows and mayors worry if they've raised their game enough to even get a mention. That's because Monocle's bumper annual quality of life survey is hitting newsstands with its ranking of the top 25 cities to call home. Pick up your copy to see whether your town is a magnetic metropolis or a city on the slide. The July-August double issue comes with many more surprises too, from five cities that are never going to win on metrics, but which we love anyway, to 10 surprising leaders you should know, to 50 things to improve your life. And our editors have been busy rounding up many more reports.
In the culture section, we showcase some of our favourite local heroes, from the record shop owner in Bangkok to the newsstand kiosk owner in Milan and the guy with a book truck in Tokyo. We'll also have a cultural calendar with all the best books, music, films and art for the summer ahead.
In the design section, we head to Marina City, a pair of modernist towers that is home to one of Chicago's more interesting communities. And we pack our swimming trunks and costumes and make for Lugano, where we profile this season's swimwear.
You'll find all this and more in the July-August issue of Monocle. It's on newsstands now.
The Olympics on Monocle 24.
As Olimpíadas estão chegando a Monocle 24.
Olimpiskite idrissa pu Monocle 24.
Lontosta maailmalle Monocle 24.
La laava l'Olympia tähti ilal Monocle arvavashvin.
Die Olympischen Spiele auf Monocle 24.
Shouting Olympique zai Monocle 24.
The Olympics on Monocle 24.
Now, it wouldn't be a Jamaican show without some reggae, and we're joined now by the band Roots Underground, who are playing later on here at Jamaica House. Joining us are two members of the band, Colin Young and Steve Newland. Welcome to Midori House.
Greetings.
So,
love the name Monocle, by the way, you know.
Well, you know, keeping an eye on the world.
Yes.
So tell us, how are you enjoying Independence Day here at Jamaica House today?
Oh, it's awful, terrible. Not having a good time at all. I personally, I'm just joking. It's amazing. You've been here. You've seen it. You can hear in the background. Of course, because of the great victories yesterday of our runners, the vibes like turned up by 10.
Unbelievable party.
You know, but the party last night was even like crazy. More exciting than the race.
I was going to say, the last 24 hours must have been a really sort
it's
of
been
thrilling
joyous,
time.
Joyous, really man. Yeah, man, the vibrations were super high.
Because
yeah.
How long have you been in London? It's not been for that long?
No, we arrived
Sunday morning.
Mm. Early.
Oh, so you timed that just
well. We're
right.
On tour, you know, so we came from mainland Europe. We had our short reggae jam in North Germany on Friday night. Saturday night. I'm losing track. After we finished this, it was actually, you know, we volunteered to come. Jampro and the Jamaica Tourist Board invited our band, you know, to come to this special occasion. And we're very happy because we're like one of the only Jamaican that live in Jamaica artists that are here at the Jamaica House. So I don't know why they chose us, but we're happy about it. And, you know, the vibes was electric. And we're going to be doing some more awesome music tonight at 10 p.m.
Fantastic. I was going to say, I mean, it must be a very sort of proud moment to be playing here in London, you know, on the 50th anniversary of Independence.
Most definitely. And yes, especially on this occasion, as it coincides with London 2012 Olympics as well. So, and with, the running of the fastest man in the world. Or I should say, the two fastest men and the fastest women in the world for Jamaica.
I would say also happy birthday, Jamaica. Today is Jamaica's Independence Celebration Day, 50 years of that.
Yes, man. It's a very proud moment for us.
And I'll tell you, even though we're so excited here, if you were in Jamaica now, you wouldn't even be behind this desk right now.
So tell us, do you have a theory? Why are the three fastest people in the world from Jamaica? Is there a theory that, why has Jamaican produced these incredible
people? No, that is the theory. The fastest people in the world come from Jamaica, and that is just a fact. We are genetically made up to run fast. They've studied it, it's true.
Them say the yam and the dumpling and certain things, I don't know. When Bolt won the last Olympic gold, they sent a team of researchers from sports medicine, from biology, from nutrition, to figure out exactly that question. Is it something in our food? Is it something in our water? But, you know, I think it's just everything, you know. It's being Jamaican, you know, where even though we are a small island, we see ourselves to be on par with the rest of the world, which we are, because everybody's equal and everybody, you know. And we just excel in these areas, not just running, in a lot of different areas, music, of course, as well, and philosophy, science, you name it, archaeology. There's a famous Jamaican. In fact, the lady who organizes this at Jampro, Kim Marie Spence, was the first Jamaican to hike to the South Pole last year, before.
And we have a lot of Jamaicans that do a lot of firsts. So if you're somebody who studies geography and, you know, geology and those things, maybe all these magnetic lines of power cross right at Jamaica, intersect right there.
Yeah.
Because apparently a lot of great things just come out of this little tiny, tiny island.
Yeah.
And it is not just the borders of the little tiny island that define Jamaica. More Jamaicans live outside of Jamaica than inside Jamaica.
Now, we've gone a little bit off piece, because the main reason why you're here is your great and fantastic music. So we're going to have a song.
All right.
This is Roots Underground, and this is In the Jungle.
Okay.
And that was In the Jungle by Roots Underground. Guys, great stuff. And tell me about music in Kingston. It sounds incredible. A lot of people say that reggae is sort of getting pushed out by this dance hall and music in Jamaica. What do you say to that? Is reggae still what defines Jamaican music?
Yeah, man. Right now, first let me say, you know, I think it's more like the non-musicians who kind of make this distinction or separation, because the way the evolution of Jamaican music has been, it still comes from one source, you know, we have ska, followed by rocksteady, going to rubberdub, going into dancehall, and the roots has branched off in a different direction too, coming from Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Burning Spear, you know, but worldwide, I would still say that the roots is on top. But in Jamaica, dancehall is on top right now in terms of radio popularity.
Within this time.
Yeah,
within and of course time. It is the time now for dancehall. You know what I mean? It's a wonderful music, it's an energetic music, and it is a part of Jamaican music,
of
as is reggae, as is ska, as is mento. So it has not taken over. It is popular now. You understand? But roots reggae is still there. Mento is still there. Ska is still there.
And remember, so roots just mean, roots doesn't have to be reggae. Let me just say that, because everywhere in the world, what roots is originality. Seeing even Bob Marley say roots is originality, which means it's not about, if I follow Bob Marley, I'm not roots, even if it sound roots, you see me, because it's a copy. What roots is when you can get that internal expression, you know, of art or culture and bring it, and that's the real originality, and we all have it. And
fantastic.
Even though it comes from the same source, it's still...
It's great stuff.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Colin Young and Stephen Newland from Roots Underground. Best of luck with your
Monica,
ongoing
keep up
tour.
Work.
And thank you for joining us here on Midori House, live from Jamaica House.
And we're back in London to play like for the general public later this year, you know? So you can listen out for us. We're going to be doing a club tour and doing some shows for I and I up here, you know, our brothers and sisters here in the UK, you know?
Thanks very much.
Jobless.
The Olympics are coming to London.
Australia is the best sporting nation in the world. It's what we do.
And to Monocle 24.
Bulgaria will excel in freestyle wrestling and shooting. Turkey has the best wrestlers in the world.
From the 27th of July and throughout the Games, we'll be going faster, higher and stronger, bringing some of the icons of the Games into Midori House, as well as taking Midori House out on the road.
The Estonians will just run around in circles. That's what they do.
I'm not even sure if Lebanon is in the Olympics, but if it is, go Team Lebanon!
O Brasil é bom no futebol.
Great Britain will probably dominate in most of the Olympic sports because we invented virtually all of them.
With a series of special shows from across the city.
Even though we are landlocked, Hungarians are great at water sports. Plus, we love a speedo.
Obviously, Germany is good at football and Germany is very good at canoeing.
To all the winners in Team of Chinese Taipei, make us proud.
Monocle 24. Keeping a sporting eye and an ear on the Olympics.
Now, to finish up the show today, we're joined by two of the biggest stars from the Lovers Rock reggae scene, Carol Thompson and Janet Kay, who were both performing earlier in the outdoor arena here at Jamaica House. Ladies, welcome to Midori House.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And how are you enjoying Jamaica House? Amazing atmosphere.
Absolutely
today.
Absolutely amazing. I'm so happy. I'm so inspired. You know, it's fantastic.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience just to be around so many people that are so happy and just so inspired.
by what's happened over the last 50 years and what's continuing to happen now. It's great. It's wonderful.
And do you think in terms of culture, this place has really sort of, I mean, it's incredible today, the way the sport and culture and food has all come together. Is this a real sort of little mini embassy today?
It is, isn't it? No, definitely. These are some of the most, the greatest components of Jamaican culture, the music, the sport, the food, and also spirituality as well, you know, the spiritual vibes, everything together. Is part and very important part of our culture here for those in this country and those all everyone in the whole diaspora coming from Jamaica. It's wonderful.
I was going to ask, because obviously this very special day, it's Independence Day, 50th anniversary, but what are the things that really come to mind when you think of Jamaica that inform your music? Has that always just been a sort of massive part of your music throughout your careers?
Well, yes. I mean, both of us have, you know, Jamaican parents, and, you know, we've grown up in this country, but our houses were definitely, we could have been in Kingston, Jamaica.
Absolutely, absolutely. The food, the upbringing, the
value system,
the values, the traditions, everything.
And do you think this sporting moment is really going to be a new chapter for Jamaica, just very quickly?
Oh, listen, do you know what, yesterday I sat around with my family and we watched this whole sporting event, and it was, everybody is just so energized, it's just so fantastic. I can't say, I'm just so happy.
No, it's going to be great. It's a future generation, it's inspirational for the next generation.
Absolutely.
It's going to be wonderful. Yeah.
Karen Thompson and Janet Kay, thank you very, very much
for
joining
us.
That's all we have time for today. Our producer was Katie Bilboa, with help from Adrian Craddock, Paul Noble and Toby Hammond. Thanks to everyone here at Jamaica House for such a wonderful welcome. And we will be back tomorrow.
And that was Sophie Grove you were hearing from. I'm Tom Edwards. Thank you very much for listening.